On this episode of Fault Lines, the growing influence of evangelical Christianity within the ranks of the U.S. military. How deep does it go?
They see themselves as on a mission that is merging God with American powers.
And we sit down with the former National Security Advisor, Brent Scowcroft, for his take on how this issue is affecting America's wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. On the Christian right, describe the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, well, in similar terms as the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, as spiritual wars of the highest magnitude. Fundamentalists on both sides feed the fires of hate and racism to support their own worldviews. And some in the Christian right believe the U.S. is and has always been a Christian nation, and it's their God-given mission to return it to its fundamentalist roots. Critics say there's nowhere in which this drive for dominion is more imminent and to many more threatening than in the ranks of the U.S. military.
They're looking at the mission of the United States military as very literally fighting a crusade. It's not a metaphor for them. They believe that they are in a spiritual battle that is equated to physical battles. One officer told me, he says, there's angels and there's demons, and we are fighting demons.
These people want to create a Christian state. That's not a secret. That is their goal. We have never seen a religious movement that has fused the iconography and language of American Christianity with the iconography and language of American nationalism. And that is a toxic and dangerous mix.
No, I don't see anything to worry about at all. Is there increasing influence? It probably is, because when you look at the denominations in America that are growing, it's the evangelical denominations. They appeal more to young people, so you're going to have more evangelicals in the Air Force and in the military at large.
The United States is unarguably a religious country. According to a Pew Forum survey, around 90% of Americans believe in God. Nearly 80% believe in miracles, and more than 50% pray at least once a day. It makes sense then that a majority of the U.S. military are Christian, by far the country's largest faith group. But some are worried that the military is being targeted by a fundamentalist form of Christianity that seeks to reclaim the U.S. as a Christian nation.
So you got a parallel Christian media, where you leave tens of millions of Americans hermetically sealed within this ideology, so that they get all of their news, entertainment, spiritual guidance. Everything comes through this distorted prism. And they did this on purpose, to create powerful institutional relationships that they could control. And the military is, the military and the courts, I would say, are probably highest on their list.
Located in the heart of the Bible Belt near Columbia, South Carolina, Fort Jackson is the Army's largest basic training center. Roughly 45,000 troops a year come here for combat indoctrination training.
Lord, we pray that your grace would.
On one recent Sunday morning, it seemed as if this indoctrination went well beyond military skills.
Again, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's caused me to get a hunger for God that I never really have experienced before in my life. I look forward to Sunday more than I ever have in my life.
This week's worship was a concert by contemporary Christian musician Josh White. 4,000 camouflage recruits, skinny, exhausted, stressed, filed into the gymnasium. Emotionally threadbare, it didn't take long for the soldiers to break down. Arms crossed, hands raised, tears flowing.
Now give the person next to you a holy hug, amen, a holy hug, amen, amen.
Chaplains made it clear recruits didn't have to attend.
So if you misunderstood what type of service this was, you just heard concert, we want you to know that at this time, if you would like to leave, but if you want to stay, you're more than welcome to stay. Amen?
If recruits chose not to come, their alternative seemed grim.
What happens if you don't come?
I would sit in the barracks and clean.
The barracks?
Yep.
Across the Armed Services, 2,900 chaplains cater to the spiritual needs of soldiers. After the Vietnam War, many mainline Protestant churches backed away from the military, leaving a void filled by a profusion of chaplains who can be described as evangelical.
It used to be that chaplains were assigned in terms of the percentages. You know, for instance, if 20% Episcopalian, then 20% of the chaplains were Episcopalian. And then that was changed by Reagan to just be Protestant. And the evangelicals mounted that campaign and mounted a huge campaign to create military chaplains. You can do an online degree to be a military chaplain, for instance, with Liberty University.
Jesus Christ has already paid.
Chaplains offer counseling to soldiers and administer to their spiritual needs. However, they're not supposed to proselytize, meaning try to convert others. That can prove difficult for chaplains from denominations that prioritize saving souls. Chaplain Monica Lawson has been in the military for 21 years.
We're soldiers in God's army, so it's just a different, our weapon is just different. You know, if we're Christians, our weapon is totally different. If you're another faith, whatever the word is that you're using, I don't carry a weapon per se, but my weapon is my word, and that's the word of God.
God's Basic Training is an optional program for recruits at Fort Jackson. It's run by the Campus Crusade for Christ, a group that is active at military bases around the world.
Our purpose for Campus Crusade for Christ at the Air Force Academy is to make Jesus Christ the issue at the Air Force Academy and around the world.
It describes its strategic goals as evangelize and disciple enlisted U.S. military members throughout their military careers and build Christian military leaders to influence the nation for Christ.
My vision is to reach the world through the Air Force.
Why do we allow groups like Campus Crusade for Christ to be involved in boot camp at all?
Why we allow them? I think probably because they asked to come on, and we allow free exercise of religion. We also allow free speech, and they're doing what they do in the soldiers' spare time.
We're seeing kids come to Christ, being built up in their faith, and being sent out to reach the world. They're government-paid missionaries when they leave here.
According to Department of Defense statistics, nearly three-quarters of all soldiers identify themselves as Christian. Religious groups say it's only natural that a large number of those will be evangelical.
There's nothing wrong with being an evangelical. There's nothing wrong even with being a fundamentalist in the military. Plenty of them serve with dignity and honor. The difference that's happened in the U.S. military in the last years is people crossing that line between their own personal beliefs and saying, look, this is something I need to use my uniform to project to the world.
The Military Religious Freedom Foundation is a group dedicated to protecting the freedom of religion for soldiers, to include what they call the freedom from religion. Evangelicals claim the foundation unfairly singles out Christians.
Yeah, because they're the only ones coercing and harassing people and trying to recruit people into their belief system.
Well, I've been in 32 years. I've never, ever witnessed a case of proselytizing, ever. Never heard of it.
Al Jazeera has uncovered evidence that a group of evangelical Christian soldiers from the U.S. Army had Bibles specially printed in local Afghan languages and shipped to Afghanistan.
Al Jazeera recently obtained video of soldiers at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan discussing how to hand out Bibles in Dari and Pashto.
You cannot proselytize, but you can give gifts.
In both Iraq and Afghanistan, General Order No. 1 for all troops is a prohibition against proselytizing. Yet in this television show, Travel the Road, that aired on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, a Christian channel, two missionaries embed with the U.S. Army at Camp Phoenix in Afghanistan.
This is the Bibles that we were giving away, and they're in the Dari language. And that's nice to see. They're really nice. These are the New Testament Bibles. So, you know, just a planting of the seed here, planting of the seed of the Word of God.
Soldiers brought the New Testament to Iraq as well, this time on the barrel of a tank, as seen in this official photograph released by the U.S. Marine Corps.
If we took the number of instances in which a person approached Equal Opportunity Office and reported in the United States, for example, that one religion, Christianity, for example, had been advanced to their dismay, then it totals about 50 over a three-year period. So there may be some underreporting, but this tells me in an organization of 2 million that it is relatively rare.
A retired chaplain who asked us to conceal his identity told Al Jazeera in an email, quote, "I'm convinced that the military environment has become a petri dish for the growth and evolution of a religious dynamic that is contrary to our constitutional laws and stands in naked violation of what is meant by the separation of church and state."
This matters because it's changing the whole tone of the war. It is confirming for those who want to see it this way, that this is an American crusade. One American Air Force general told me, who is very opposed to this stuff but is powerless to stop it. He said, you know, we are confirming everything the enemy says about us. We are giving the Al-Qaeda and Taliban the most perfect recruiting tools they could want. And we're trampling on our own constitution.
There are over 25,000 Department of Defense leaders working in the rings and corridors of the Pentagon.
This video, titled Christian Embassy, was widely criticized because it was filmed in the Pentagon and included interviews with uniformed officers, including four generals. The video was produced by the Campus Crusade for Christ.
Through Bible studies, discipleship, prayer breakfasts, and outreach events, Christian Embassy is mustering these men and women into an intentional relationship with Jesus Christ.
GQ magazine recently broke a story about the intelligence reports that then-Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld personally delivered to President Bush. Each day's report began with a militaristic quote from the Bible.
We're not talking about a few fringe guys, a few marginal characters. These were top commanders in the U.S. military, openly flouting the First Amendment, openly expressing contempt for other religious traditions, and openly talking about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as Lieutenant General Bruce Pfister puts it, a spiritual war of the highest magnitude. And they were doing this on the record.
For example, Major General Johnny Wieda was the commandant of the Air Force Academy, and he made the National Day of Prayer service there exclusively Christian. Now he's been promoted to Deputy Chief of Staff, U.S. Forces Korea. Major General Robert Caslin told cadets in a speech that they were all God's children, and that was why he respected them. Caslin is now commander of the 25th Infantry Division. Lieutenant General Robert Van Antwerp said on a worldwide broadcast of a Christian rally that the baptism of 700 soldiers under his command was evidence of the Lord's plan to raise a godly army. Van Antwerp is now the Army Chief of Engineers.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome this American Hebrew, Lieutenant Colonel Chaplain Brian K. Waite.
And then there's Chaplain Brian Waite, who's appeared in uniform at a rally for the Revival Fires Ministry for 3 years in a row with televangelist Cecil Todd.
The hunger and thirst for the Word of God that God produces in the hearts of men and women, and they couldn't get enough of these.
Waite also wrote a book calling for an American jihad against the evil of Islam. Waite remains an active duty chaplain in the U.S. Navy.
Well, I don't justify those actions for one thing. I can say that they're not typical of America's military, that we want people who join the military. In fact, our Constitution promises that when you join the military, you can still practice your faith. We want people to be able to practice their faith. But to offend somebody else's faith, or to disrespect somebody else's faith, or to in any way imply that our faith is the official faith of the United States military or of the United States, entirely inappropriate and entirely wrong.
Occasionally, we have had instances in which one might make their religion more visible in official capacity than we would prefer, and at that point then we take appropriate action and coach. But no, I don't see the U.S. military as a Christian military, rather as a diverse military.
From their perspective, though, can you see how it looks like a religious war?
I could see how they would look at that, and certainly there are religious components of the ongoing war. I mean, you can't understand the compassion, the passion of the terrorists, for instance, apart from some sort of a religious motivation.
And what's Obama's administration doing about this?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's been a real disappointment, I think, for people who were watching fundamentalism and people who were also, frankly, listening to his campaign promises. There's enough Christian power in America. It doesn't matter whether you have a Republican or a Democratic administration. This is an enduring base.
The First Amendment to the Constitution protects free speech, free press, and the free exercise of religion for all Americans. But this issue has consequences that stretch far beyond U.S. borders.
The First Amendment matters to an international audience because in as much as there's any kind of break on American empire, it's that. When the First Amendment starts eroding in America, as it already has, we don't have a culture of free expression. We don't have the power of dissent. We don't have the power to end wars.
When you have a country that has the military power of the United States, and you reduce its military and civilian leadership to a level understandable by children, that it's us and them, that it's good and evil, unless we develop another paradigm, unless we recognize that there are other legitimate ways of being, there are moral systems as valid as our own, we are going to become very frightened. In essence, children with bombs.
Coming up on Fault Lines, we sit down with former U.S. National Security Advisor and Air Force General Brent Scowcroft and get his take on how religion in the military is impacting the war efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Welcome back to Fault Lines. Brent Scowcroft was a National Security Advisor to two presidents, and his 29-year career in the military saw him rise to the rank of three-star general, Lieutenant General. We're going to sit down with him and ask him what he thinks about this religion in the military issue and how it's impacting the U.S.'s wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Have you seen this as a trend, that this kind of rising evangelical thing within the military?
Well, I've read about it, especially at the Air Force Academy. Mm-hmm. I don't know how serious a movement it is, but it is of concern to me.
We uncovered video of soldiers in Afghanistan receiving Bibles from America in Dari and Pashto to pass out to locals. Other video of missionaries embedding with U.S. troops. Many in our viewership, and our viewership, of course, goes across the Middle East and Afghanistan, see there's a religious component to the U.S. wars in their regions. What do you think about that?
Well, I if there is, I'm not aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I would be very surprised if that were true. Missionaries embedded with the troops, I find a very unusual statement.
Believe it or not, General, this isn't video that we just uncovered. It was actually on the Trinity Broadcasting Network on a television show called Travel the Road, about two missionaries that go around the world to these dangerous places saving souls. And there are three episodes.
Well, they may go around saving souls, but they're not embedded with the troops.
There are three episodes where they're embedded with troops at Camp Phoenix, a unit from Oklahoma. So it's not like secret video, entire episodes dedicated to these units.
I will find out. I'm not aware of it, and I would find it very surprising.
But, you know, I think I started this story as a bit of a cynic because I was a Marine for 15 years, and the more evidence I saw, the more it seemed like this is throughout the military, not just the Air Force
Academy.
Well,
there's an evangelical movement in the United States. There's no question about that. And it would be surprising if it didn't have elements in the military as well. To find it aided and abetted by the military, I find a little bit surprising. I just reject the whole notion that we're on a religious crusade. And I think the American people would be astonished to hear that, as would our Secretary of Defense.
Well, there are some, and these aren't fringe critics either. There are some that say that
the evangelicals... But a soldier carrying a Bible... I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a God-fearing troop. You were in the Marines. Mm-hmm. Did you ever pray? You ever in combat?
No,
I mean,
and
you
yes.
know, it's a pretty desperate place. Mm-hmm. And reaching out for God is not an alien, barbaric notion.
Changing subjects.
Thank you.
Osama bin Laden calls the U.S., led wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, crusades.
He specifically uses, you know, crusades in his speeches. Should the U.S. do something to counter that dynamic?
Yes, I guess I think we can. I think we're fundamentally there to help the region, not as an imperial power, not as a crusade, not to remake them. And I think that's the image that we need to convey again.
That's interesting. Do you see America as an empire?
Only by accident.
How do you mean?
Well, we've become a very powerful country. And so our tentacles, whether they're business, whether they're economics, but cultural, they spread everywhere. Mm-hmm. But is it an empire in the sense of control, conscious control? No. It's an empire of influence, if you will.
Do you think there's always going to be inherent conflict between a Christian nation, and I don't mean the government's Christian, I mean like a mostly Christian nation, conducting wars in Islamic countries?
No, there shouldn't be, because we ought to have emerged from the period of religious wars. I think if we look at the monotheocratic religions, all of them, they all have much more in common than they have in opposition. And it's the extremists that set them against each other. And some, like Al-Qaeda as the extreme, say this is heathen, this is alien, drive it out. And they want to return to the purity of the 13th century. And I think it's a natural reaction, but we have to deal with it.